I'm Arun Vanagopal, in for Tanzina Vega, and you're back with The Takeaway. Last week, the National Center for Homeless Education released a report that found that youth homelessness was at an all-time high. In the 2017-2018 school year, more than 1.5 million public school children had experienced homelessness. But despite this high number, student homelessness is an issue that is largely hidden from the general public.
Most people hear the word homeless and they think of a single adult on the streets of a big city. And that's just not what homelessness looks like for families, children, and youth.
That's Barbara Duffield, the executive director of Schoolhouse Connection, a nonprofit that advocates for homeless youth.
The reality is that for a child, the more likely experience is that you're going from place to place, you're staying on someone's couch, you're going then to a motel possibly, and moving between all of these situations that aren't visible to the public.
She says that because this issue is so hidden from the public, it isn't getting the government resources it desperately needs.
So whether it's, you know, who gets prioritized, whether it's the definition of homelessness, whether it's the kinds of housing models that are eligible for funding, this is not an area that's been prioritized. And that's been a very big challenge because, again, the two problems are related. If you're homeless as a child, you're more likely to be homeless as an adult. But we haven't gone upstream to really tackle some of the root causes and address child and family homelessness.
And the numbers in this latest report don't even tell the whole picture of youth homelessness in the country.
These numbers only reflect children and youth who were identified as homeless and who were enrolled in school. So we know that we are missing lots of children in terms of our identification efforts. So for younger children who aren't school age, we know we're missing them because they're infants, toddlers, too young to be in school. They're not part of this. And the U.S. Department of Education did another report just last year where they estimated the number of young children under age 6. And for 2019, they estimated 1.3 million children under age 6 experience homelessness every year.
The affordable housing crisis, the opioid epidemic, issues in foster care, these are all big factors contributing to youth homelessness. But another issue is natural disasters and the way that climate change can make natural disasters even more severe and sustained.
Natural disasters definitely have an impact on student homelessness. For example, in this last report, there were big bumps in Florida and Texas as a result of the three hurricanes that happened that year. So to the extent that those natural disasters are related to climate change, they're absolutely contributing to homelessness. And as I said, that homelessness can last beyond the initial displacement, particularly for families and youth living in poverty.
The largest increase in youth homelessness, according to the report, has been in Texas. The student homeless population there has doubled over the 2015 to 2018 school years. We wanted to take a closer look at the issues in Texas. I spoke with Brett Murfish, Director of Youth Justice at Texas Appleseed, a public interest justice center. I asked her what were some of the main underlying reasons for youth homelessness in the state.
We've looked at the issue in depth and we see all kinds of drivers, economic poverty, hardship, increase in rents, and the lack of affordable housing. And then with kids especially, the intersection with our foster care system and our juvenile justice systems.
In Texas, at least, has youth homelessness been criminalized?
So, you know, we are working to decriminalize youth homelessness, and I think that it's a tricky thing. We've actually been doing some sealing and expunction clinics because one of the problems we see is that, let's say you have, you know, sleeping in public or criminal trespass or things that are kind of easy to get when you're maybe living on the street, that keeps you from getting a job. Well, that just keeps you homeless. And so, yeah, we have that sort of a decriminalization of running away at the federal level. And that's something that we're really pushing counties to do here, is to not hold kids for running away from home when they're under 17, because that is criminalizing, you know, what could be a survival behavior, but also could be an indicator of homelessness.
So, Brett, what does the typical homeless student look like in Texas?
You know, we do see a disproportionate number of LGBTQ youth, especially in our homeless populations, and that's something nationwide that you see. You also see higher rates of disabilities in homeless students, and I think that one thing that came out in the report is sort of the increase in English learners, like that proportion of homeless students. You also see a disproportionate number of minorities amongst homeless students.
When your organization spoke to Texas students who are homeless, what do they tell you are their biggest struggles with being in some sort of unstable situation?
So, you know, we hear different things. I'll tell you, you know, one student we spoke with lived in a tent behind the school. for his entire senior year. Hmm. And he talked about sort of the struggles that he had where they had a clear backpack policy. Well, he didn't want to bring all of his belongings in a clear backpack every day to school. That felt like it really exposed him and made him feel homeless. And when students would joke and say his ripped jeans made him look homeless, like there was a certain truth to that he was hiding. Another woman, she was homeless. And so, you know, they'd lock the shelter during the day. And so if she was disciplined at school, she really didn't have anywhere to go. She couldn't go back there. And if she could, she talked about sort of the people that hung out there and how that never made her feel safe. So I think there's just like a lack of safety, a lack of stability that sort of accompanies this, you know, this state of being homeless.
What about social services? Has funding changed at all over the past few years?
No, it hasn't. And that's a really important part. The study that we're focusing on is counting, you know, homeless students. And so we have this federal law called McKinney-Vento that puts a homeless liaison in every school district. And their job is to identify homeless students and connect them with resources. Well, in Texas, we know that 43% of them have three different job titles. And we know a third of them reported in 2015-2016 school year having no contact with homeless students. And so one of the things that we at Texas Appleseed really want to see is adequate funding for those liaisons so that they really can connect them with services. And then the other thing would be more funding for resources for our homeless students. And it makes sense to really focus those in the schools. You have schools in almost every neighborhood serving kids. You know, kids are going to school. School is often, you know, a place of refuge for them. So one thing besides funding that Texas Appleseed advocates for is recognizing sort of the unique challenges that students experiencing homelessness have in school. Last session, we passed a bill to basically ban out-of-school suspension for homeless students. Homeless students have disproportionate discipline numbers. They're getting out-of-school suspension more. A lot of that is, you know, them acting on trauma and other things happening, the instability in their lives. And then basically what we're doing is just sending them back into the street without access to food or a safe place to be. We also worked to make it so that it was easier for kids experiencing homelessness, youth actually experiencing homelessness, to get state identifications and driver's license. So there's a fee waiver for those licenses and any kind of documents that you need to get them. First thing that you need when you're getting a job is having state identification. And if you can't get that, then you still can't get that economic stability. And, you know, those fees, which to you and me might not be a lot, $20, can really be a barrier to a student experiencing homelessness or a young person.
And Brett, do you see the struggle to secure more funding? Is that because of actual opposition or more just because you're competing with so many other important causes for a relatively limited amount of taxpayer funding?
I'd say the latter. You know, the Texas legislature, when we had students come and tell their stories for the bills that I mentioned, and we had a very compassionate and interested, you know, response. Like, people really do care about this issue. And I think it's hidden in plain sight sometimes. When I speak to schools sometimes, and especially I've done like presentations with university students, I ask them, you know, do you know anyone that's homeless? Did you know anyone in high school that was homeless? And about half of them raise their hands. And then after we finish talking, a lot of times they think back and they're like, oh, well, I did know someone that was couch surfing. Oh, yeah, I do think that happened. And so it is really a universal problem.
That's Brett Murfish, Director of Youth Justice at Texas Appleseed. Thanks so much for joining me, Brett.
Thank you so much, Arun.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.